I want to share a message with you that the Lord's put on my heart. We're going to be in Luke chapter number 5 and verse number 1. The Bible said, "And it came to pass that as the people were pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and he taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, and that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both ships, so that they began to sink. And when Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. And for he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, I love this right here, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. Let's pray. Father, Lord, we love you tonight, Lord, because you first loved us. Lord, we thank you, God, that you came looking for us, Lord, when we were not looking for you. And Lord, that the moment that we trusted you, and Lord, that you did that work of salvation, Father, you wrote our names down. And Lord, I'm thankful, Lord, that we're going to see you one day. We're going to be in your presence. And Lord, I pray, Father, until then, God, that you would help us. Lord, we need you tonight to speak to us. Lord, we need you to draw us unto yourself, and Lord, that you would help us, Lord, to live the Christian life, Father, that you have saved us to live. And Lord, I sure do need you to help me to preach tonight. Father, I cannot do anything without you. And Lord, I pray, God, that you would work in the hearts of your people tonight. I pray, Father, that we would give everything to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I've been going through a series with the teens on Sunday morning about living the Spirit-filled life. And I've not gotten deep into it, but I'm laying it out for them enough that they can understand it. Because the fact of the matter is that even though they're teenagers, they're still saved, the ones that have trusted Christ. And a young person is supposed to be filled with the Spirit just as much as somebody that's my age or your age. Why? Because that is a command from God. The Bible says in Ephesians 5:18, Be not drunk with wine where it is in excess, but be filled with the Spirit. It's as much of a command to be filled with the Holy Spirit as it is not to be drunk with wine. So that means that if it is a sin for us not to be drunk with wine, and God has commanded us not to, then it's sinful when we're not filled with the Holy Spirit, if that's what God has commanded us to do. Amen right there. It is. So I heard a preacher say one time, he said, what if I came into my church and I was acting a little bit funny, that my words were slurring, I was stumbling a little bit, and even some people got a hint of alcohol on my breath. He said, you know what they would do? He said, they would run me out of the church. He said, but what about when I don't get up here and I'm filled with the Holy Spirit? Listen, it's essential. There in Ephesians, when Paul was talking about that, he was talking about what is needed and how the being filled with the Spirit helps us in our life. He talks about our walk. When we're filled with the Spirit, and we're walking in the Spirit and we're not giving place to the flesh, then it's going to make all the difference in the world. We're not going to be like we were before we got saved. We're not going to do those things. We're not going to partake. We have different desires. When we're filled with the Spirit, the Bible says that God gives us wisdom. He tells us that not only are we to walk in the Spirit, but we're to walk circumspectly. That we're to take advantage of the resources and the time that He has given us to make the most out of it. And that, in the greatest part, is to bring people to Christ and to bring honor and glory to the Lord. There's a war between the Spirit and the flesh. And when we feed the flesh, then the flesh is going to take over. And we're not going to do what God wants us to do. But when we feed the Spirit and we're filled with the Spirit, then we can live that victorious Christian life. It's also interesting that after verse number 18, it starts talking about the family and how a husband's supposed to love his wife and a wife's supposed to love her husband and how children are supposed to love their parents and obey them. And I want to say this, if you're not filled with the Spirit, you can't be the husband God has saved you to be. You can't be the wife. You can't be the obedient child. It just doesn't work out any other way than the way that God plans it. And so I want to preach tonight for just a little bit on being filled with the Holy Spirit. From this text right here, I believe we see a wonderful illustration of what that looks like. I preached out of this text before, and I preached a message called Soul-Winning Secrets from the Sea. But tonight I want to preach a message called The Spirit-Filled Secrets from the Sea. We learn some things here in this portion of Scripture that will help us in the Spirit-filled life. And let me say this, the key to the Spirit-filled life is obedience. Amen. It won't happen any other way. And let me also say this before I get into the message. I don't believe that using this text in Christ illustrating the work of the Holy Spirit is taking anything away from that doctrine. The Holy Spirit and the Lord Jesus Christ are both God. The Bible said that Jesus was with the disciples and that He was going to go to heaven. And He told them that when He left, He would send them a comforter. The Holy Spirit would come alongside. And the Holy Spirit did that same work that Jesus did in the lives of the disciples. But after Jesus would go and the Holy Spirit would come, He would move in the hearts of believers. And He wouldn't do that just for a group, but He would do that for everybody that was saved. And the Bible teaches this, and Let me read a verse for you. Ephesians chapter number 3 and verse number 16. The Bible says that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. Why? That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passes all knowledge, that ye might be filled with the fullness of God. Then over in Romans chapter number 8 and verse number 9, the Bible says this, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His. And if Christ be in you, then the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. They work hand in hand. And I believe that we see some wonderful things from this text tonight, and I want to point these things out to you with the help of the Lord. Number one, when I look at this text, I see a sovereign will. The Bible says in verse number 1 that Jesus came down to the sea. And when Jesus did anything, it was a part of a plan and He had a purpose. And I believe that when He does something, that it can have a multitude of reasons in mind what he does. He's just a sovereign, all-knowing, wise God. And so he went down not only to minister, but I believe he went down there looking for help. Because at this point in time, he was going and speaking to people, revealing himself to a group or one or two, but now he was going to change the mathematics of the whole thing. He was going to turn it from an addition to multiplication. And he was going looking for disciples that he could make fishers of men. And in order for him to do that, in order for him to transform them from ordinary fishers, he had to accomplish a work. And in order to do that, he needed a vessel. And I want to say to you that the Bible says that our lives, our inner men, our bodies are vessels. Vessels to honor and vessels to dishonor. And so when the Lord went down there, he was looking for a vessel. You say, Brother Chris, what kind of vessel was he looking for? He was looking for a willing vessel. The Bible said that Peter was out of his boat, and Jesus went and got on the boat. But I believe that Peter had a choice in that. I believe Peter could have said, no, I don't want you on in my vessel. I don't want you to come aboard. Or he had the choice to receive him. Friend, that's the same way it is in order for a person to be saved. In order for the Holy Spirit to indwell us, we have to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. And let me take that a little step further. We need to know and we need to understand that he not only indwells us, but he seals us. Just like we sang tonight. He seals us. He keeps us. Whatever God seals, no man can take that off. No man can unseal what God seals. I'm thankful for that tonight, that I cannot lose my salvation. Jesus gave it to me. He keeps me. And it's all about him. But let me say this. He also found an empty vessel. He understood in order for him to do the work that he wanted to do, that he needed to do, that he had to have room to go in there and to be captain of the vessel. That meant that Peter had to step aside and let the Lord take control. I believe that hinders people from having the fullness of the Holy Spirit, from letting God truly work in your lives, because they're not willing to be emptied of self and let the Lord have control of their lives. Friend, it's not going to happen like that. We will not have everything that God has for us when we try to have it our way and do it our way. He wants to be the captain. He deserves to be the captain. He needs to be the captain. But let me say this. When he got on that empty vessel, that vessel had all of Jesus that it was ever going to get. The thing about it was, is that Jesus didn't have all of Peter yet, and he wanted to. That's what it means to be filled with the Spirit. When you got saved, you got the person of the Holy Spirit. And by the way, he's a person. He's as much God as God the Son and God the Father. And he's not an it. He's not a thing. He's a person. And when you got saved, you didn't get an arm. You didn't get a leg. You didn't get part of him. You got every bit of him that you're ever going to get. The thing is does he have all of you? And when we obey him and yield to him, and he starts getting more of us, then we start being filled with the Holy Spirit and getting what we need to give him honor and glory and for him to use us in a great way. It was also a clean vessel. The Bible said that Peter was out there cleaning his nets. That vessel wasn't full of grime and guts. It wasn't cluttered up with a lot of things. And that's the type of vessel that the Lord's looking for that He can fill. He's not looking for a life that's full of useless clutter that's going to get in the way of us yielding our lives to Him. He's not going to use a dirty vessel. He wants us to be right with Him, to live a holy life, a clean life, that we might not bring reproach to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And let me say this, it was a working vessel. Peter was actually out there doing something. He was working. You say, what was he doing? Peter was doing what he knew to do until Jesus came and gave him something else to do. And the Lord's not looking for lazy people. He's not going to fill somebody that's not willing to get up and work and do something. He's just not. And so when I see this, I see a sovereign will. God knew what He was doing. Then I see a special wisdom. The Bible says in verse number 3, and he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and he taught the people out of the ship. As subtle as it was, when he got on that vessel, he started doing the work on Peter. It's interesting when you look at this. The Bible says in Ephesians 2:10, it says, for we are the workmanship of Christ. The Bible says in Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Let me ask you a question. Is God doing a work on you? I'm not talking about has he done a work on you, but you're intending on him to do a work on you. Is he working on you right now? And I guess my second question would be, are you letting him? Are you letting him do the work that he desires to do? Friend, I don't care who you are. I don't care how long you've been saved. We all need a lot of work. There's so much that God has for us. And so much he wants to do through us. But in order to do that, he has to do a work on us. And we see this, that when Jesus started this work, he was wise in the placement that he had Peter. Jesus told him to thrust out a little bit, and he kind of got close to the shore, and he started teaching the people from the ship. Now you say, what does that have to do with Peter's placement? He was getting Peter connected with what he was doing. And I believe that when we get saved, that it should just be natural that we go to church. Amen. I don't understand having to twist somebody's arm and beat them over the head to get them to come to church. We need to read our Bibles. We need to get in a local church, and we need to get locked in and connected and start serving the Lord. And I believe that we need, as people that have been saved for a certain amount of time, that we need to take these people that have just gotten saved, and we need to kind of lead them and point them in the direction so they can get connected in. I believe that. The young man that got saved this morning, after he got saved, we talked a little bit, and I didn't ask him if he wanted to come to the youth group. I told him he was going to come to the youth group. Because I said, that's what people do when they get saved. They come to church and they get locked in. So many people drift. So many people, they'll come for a while and there's no accountability, and then they drift right back out. Rhiannon and I, it's not really a joke, but we say this sometimes. We're almost nervous after somebody gets baptized. It's like you don't see them anymore. I don't understand all of that. But people need to be locked in. And you might not necessarily have a burden for a specific thing. But let me say this. Sometimes you just need to get involved. Find an opening. There's a bus that needs to be driven. There's a need.
There's an opportunity. You might say, but I don't have a burden. Listen, you might get on that bus and go pick some little kids up that love you and hug on you and they're thankful that you care about them, and you bring them to church and they get saved, and then their family gets saved, and all of a sudden you got a burden and you see things totally different. See, sometimes we just need to see where there's a void and a hole, and even though we might not be called, that we just need to get in there because there's a need. There's a need. That when I after I got saved, it wasn't long, I had a guy ask me to go to the jail with him. That scared me to death. All I'd seen about jail was these lockdown, National Geographic, and all the stuff that happened. And when I went in there, I went in with the Rock of Ages. When I went in there, I just backed myself up against the wall. And we had some envelopes and some tracts and some different things. And I got the courage to go and to talk to somebody. And then it was just like it opened up. And when I went to Bible college, I got locked in a jail ministry and I absolutely love it. I mean, my heart is there. I love ministering in the jail, but I wouldn't have known until I just tried. Amen. Let me say this. We also see that there's wisdom in the process the Lord did. He didn't give Peter something hard to do in the fact that He put it all on him at once. The Lord is so gentle with us. When we get saved, He doesn't expect everything to be right from the very beginning. But He'll point things out a little bit at a time, and it's up to us to obey Him and say yes to Him, to add those things in, to take those things out so that He can use us. I'll give you an example. After I got saved, the Lord took things out of my life just like that. Drinking, amen. Drugs, gone. But I remember going to church one Sunday. I'd been going for a while. And I remember standing up, singing out of the hymn book, and I looked down, and I had a pack of cigarettes in my pocket, and I promise you they looked like they were sticking out that far, to the point where I put my hand over them. I'd never noticed it before, never thought about it, but all of a sudden I thought, I don't feel comfortable. And so what I started doing was, I started leaving them out in the truck. And I'd go to church, then I'd get in the truck, and I'd get about 2 miles down the road, and I'd pull one out and I'd start smoking it. Until I got scared that I was going to see somebody from church, somewhere between the house, and so I just left them at home and smoked out on the front porch until I got scared that somebody was going to drive by the front porch, and I went to the back porch. And I was at work, and I thought, what if somebody from church or somebody comes in and sees me smoking? And so I went to the back in the warehouse in a corner, and while I was back there puffing on a cigarette, the Lord said, if you've gone this far to hide, do you think you ought to be doing that? And I said, I understand, Lord. He is gentle in the way that He works, but we have to say yes. Number three, let me give you this. I see a significant work. The Bible says in verse number 4, now when He had left speaking, He said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. Jesus desires our obedience, and our obedience continually demands faith. And the longer we're saved and we continue to obey, the Lord will stretch that faith. He'll trust us with something. We'll get something that we feel like we can do. And then the Lord says, okay, we're going to the next thing. And it's going to require some faith. And the faith life, the victorious Christian life, the Spirit-filled life is out in the deep. It's out in a place where you got nothing to hold on to, your feet can't touch the bottom, and the only one that you can depend on is Christ. You can't swim back. And so many people, They won't launch out into the deep. They want to stay in the shallows where the waves come up over their ankles. They want to go maybe out a little bit in the surf where it hits them in their legs. They want to go chest deep because they think, okay, I'm further out than everybody else, or maybe even to where they can bounce off the bottom and come up and get a breath. But that's not what the Lord has for us. It's a life of faith. It's a life where He has us to get out of what we feel comfortable in and obey Him and do it. This life lacks comfort. It's not convenient. Look at what the Bible says in verse number 5. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night. You think he wanted to get back in that boat and then go all the way back out there? It's never going to be convenient. The Lord, as a matter of fact, it's usually not convenient. Because God's given us an opportunity to obey Him. We show Him we love Him when we keep His commandments. And it's not convenient. We don't feel like doing it. A lot of times we don't want to do it. But we're still supposed to obey Him and say yes when He tells us to. Let me also say this. It's a life that lacks company. When Peter went out there and launched out in the deep, there weren't a lot of people out there, Brother Vince. He couldn't fellowship with the people that did construction work or the people that sold stuff in the market. There were a handful of fishermen out there. And that's that deep life. Sometimes it's a lonely life. It's going to be a life that people don't always understand you and why you're doing this and why you would sacrifice that. But let me tell you, it's worth every bit of it. I've lived both in the shallows and the deep. And it's hard out there in the deep a lot of times. But I tell you, it's where you're happy. It's where joy comes. It's where you feel fulfilled. Because Jesus is meeting every one of your needs. You have nobody else to depend on but Him. You can't go back and forth to the shore to get what you need or what you want. You have to be out there alone with Him and let Him supply those things. Some of the greatest times in my life were when I launched out by faith and I couldn't figure it out. I didn't know where it was going to come from. I didn't know how it was going to happen. I didn't know how we were going to get it. I didn't know a check was going to show up in the mail. I didn't know somebody was going to put some money in my hand. I didn't see an opportunity come out of nowhere. But that's what happens when by faith you step out and go out into the deep. That's where God does His greatest work. And I wonder sometimes, the reason why people don't make much of the Lord, they're not quick to testify, it's because they've not seen God do those great things, and they really don't have a whole lot to talk about except things that happened in the past. Listen, He's still doing miracles. He still wants to work in our lives if we'll let Him. This life lacks clarity. We don't understand anything. We don't know everything, but I like what Peter said there in verse number 5. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. And he said this, nevertheless. The Lord's looking for some nevertheless. Some people say, Lord, I don't understand it. Lord, I don't feel like it. Lord, I don't know what You're going to do, but nevertheless, Lord, I'm going to trust You. Listen, I'm not trying to play the hypocrite tonight. I'm not one up here that does everything that God wants me to do every time that He says it. But let me say this, I sure want to be. Because I know that that's what brings fulfillment and joy. I think so many lives are empty because they're not trusting the Lord. They're not letting Him have His way. Do you understand that God has a plan and a specific purpose for your life? And He had that all figured out before He even created the world. And so many people are not doing what God has purposed and planned for them. And I'm not necessarily saying it's the ministry, but I will say this, and I think about this a lot of times, Brother Jason, that when we draw our last breath as believers and we step off into eternity and we stand there before the Lord to be judged of what we did with what He gave us, I believe that we're going to get a hint of what He had for us. And a person can live a successful life. They can make money. They can be very good at something. But they never got the best. And I believe it'll break some hearts when we leave this place and the Lord said, you could have had this and you could have done this and you could have gone there. But you just wouldn't obey me. Let me give you this and I'm finished. I see a supernatural wonder. The Bible says there in verse number 6, and when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes and their net break. They had no idea what God had in store. God honors faith and obedience. I don't believe there is a truer hymn than trust and obey. Trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. That's the key. That's the secret. That's the path that the Lord wants us to go on. And when we do that, He brings the increase. We miss out on so much because we're not willing to trust the Lord and let Him do that thing in our life that He wants to do. I love to read biographies and autobiographies about people that were in the ministry and preachers and missionaries. And I remember reading something about D.L. Moody when he made one of his trips over to England. And the preacher he talked to, it's escaped my mind, but he was talking to a preacher that had been in the ministry for a while. And the preacher told him this, the world has yet to see what God could do with a man that is wholly given to Him. And he never got away from it. And I would say that he did not do everything that God had for him, but he gave all the effort in the world. And God used him in a great way. This supernatural wonder, we see an increase. We see an influence. Verse number 7, that Peter had drawn so much in through the Lord that he had to call for his partners to come over and help. Do you know that when you're living the Spirit-filled life, letting the Lord control you, you will have an influence over people and you don't even realize it. People notice things in your life. People see things in your life. Sometimes they say, you know what, I want to have that in my life. I want the Lord to do this in my life and that in my life. And we don't even realize it, and that's a good thing. The Lord doesn't want us to know. But don't you want to have influence? I want to have influence over some young people. I want to make a difference. I want to help some people with the help of the Lord. I see a supernatural wonder that the work that he did in the inner man of Peter, the Bible said in verse number 8, and when Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees saying, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man. The Lord was breaking Peter down so that he could build Peter up. And that is a continual process throughout our Christian life. It's bending sometimes. Those preachers in the Welsh revival, they got to the place that they were willing to pray, Lord, bend me. Lord, bend me. Some of you have been bent. And you know that's a hard thing to pray. But God wants us to get to the place that we want Him more than anything else. To let Him bend us and break us so that He can build us back up again. You know what? There was a young man that went to Lee Robertson, and he asked him this question. He said, can you tell when you're filled with the Holy Spirit? And Dr. Robertson said this. He said, I can't so much tell when I'm filled with the Holy Spirit as much as I can tell when I'm not. Peter didn't realize it when Jesus was on the boat with him, but I know he realized when he wasn't on the boat with him. And God does that work. He wants to do this work. And then there's the last thing. The Bible says there in verse number 10, and so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And he said unto Simon, fear not, for henceforth thou shalt catch men. He said, Peter, the past is the past. That's the past. I'm drawing a line because henceforth I've got a work for you. He said, Peter, I've got more. Listen to me tonight. I don't care how old you are. I don't care how long you've been saved. I don't care how much you know about the Bible or don't know about the Bible, how confident you are or lack of confidence. God has more. There's always going to be more. It might not be what we think that it is, but He's always got more. The thing is, are we going to obey Him and yield to Him and let Him fill us so that He can use us and get glory out of our lives? I want to be a Spirit-filled Christian, don't you? Let's bow our heads together. I'm going to pray. I'm going to wrap up.